Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafield's Fantasy Podcast.
Well, Jeff, it starts right now. The outdoor edition of the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast here. We're talking sunny North Carolina at a brisk 85 degrees at 11 in the morning. But you know what? It is sunny. It is windy. Nice little breeze going. The birds are chirping. The frogs are frogging. And I'm ready to pod. And we have some breaking news. We have sports. Sports to actually talk about. Sports to possibly preview. Maybe even a football season goes underway this year. Very excited about the possibilities of all that, Jeff. But most of all, I'm just excited to talk to you. Jeff, how are you today?
Well, I'm doing good. I wish I could be out enjoying the splendors of nature right now. But alas, I'm in my home office, also known as my bedroom, with a pop-up table. Still, that's a saga if you want to get into it. That I ordered a table May 1st and it still hasn't gotten here. So talk about the COVID impact on shipping out here. But all things considered, doing great. Excited to be here. Talk to you. Real sports. Real progression towards seasons of ball and foot and baseball and everything. So,
ooh.
Yeah. What do we want to start with, Will? That is the question.
Okay. I'm going to start with something really dumb. I guess it's dumb. So, Ashley and I don't really know what to watch on Netflix a lot. We're not big TV watchers in terms of togetherness and starting shows and all that stuff. But she goes, "Hey, there's this movie we're supposed to watch." And I'm like, "What?" And she's like, "It's called 365 Days." And I'm like, "Okay, what's it about?" She's like, "I don't know. It's like some 50 Shades of Grey, but like Polish or something." And I'm like, oh my God. So I click it on Netflix. I'm like, "Okay, babe, it's definitely not in English." And she's like, "Oh no, it's like half English, half whatever. It's just whatever." I was like, "Okay, whatever." She's like, "All her friends talk about it. Of course, it's on Twitter and Instagram or whatever. So it's trending. So that's why we watch it." And so just the moral, the main gist of it is some mafia guy has like a mafia business or something. And he, like, really likes this girl that he saw one time before he almost died. And then he, like, stalks her, I guess, and forces her to date him for a year. And when I say forces him, I mean, like, he literally kidnaps her and says, "You have a year, and if you don't fall in love with me after a year, then I'll let you go."
Okay.
Meanwhile, this dude, like, there's a scene in, like, the first 20 minutes where he, like, just snorts cocaine on a plane, and he just goes to the back of the plane and forces the flight attendant to do some things to him. Like, just straight up. Like, just, that's the first 20 minutes of the movie. The last hour of the movie, I couldn't really tell you because I fell asleep because it was so damn boring and it made no sense.
Ooh.
Ashley fell asleep. I woke up like 5 minutes ago, and I was like, oh wow, yeah, this has been quite a ride. So just the moral of the story is just don't fall predator to these Twitter and Instagram trends. I can't believe she made me watch this, to be honest. But it's in Polish, it's in Italian, it's in English. It's got a lot of sex stuff in it, but, you know, there's plenty of other places to watch that than Netflix. So it's a two thumbs down from this guy.
Oh,
definitely don't waste your time.
Down. I mean, okay, I think it's a hard pass. I think I watched about 30 seconds of the trailer where she's, like, going up to a cop, and she's, like, saying all this stuff, like, "Oh, I've been kidnapped, and this man," and then he shows up, and then he knows the cop, or the cop knows who he is, and so they're like, "Is there a problem?" And he's like, "No, we're okay," and I was like, okay, I can't get into it. Sounds like it's more of just the times, like, people are trapped inside, you know, they want some craziness, I don't know.
Some Stockholm syndrome with her.
Yeah, some yeah. We are watching a Netflix show. Again, it's one of those, like we spoke about last time with Truth Be Told. Like, I gotta ask you some questions to get it off. I mean, okay. Are you big into survival shows? Okay. Are you big into survival shows? Because if you are, Alone on Netflix, they're already in their sixth season. I mean, I don't know how this flew under the radar for so long, but essentially they put 10 people out in the wilderness with like 50 to 60 pounds of camera gear and then 10 items. And it's whoever lasts the longest out there by themselves wins like $500,000. And this time they're in the Arctic. And it is pretty wild. There's people killing wolverines. there's moose killings. There's, you know, people getting bit by squirrels. Wow, a little Hugh Jackman sighting, huh? A what?
It's a Hugh Jackman sighting. All right, that flew.
Oh, yeah.
Flew another. You said killing wolverines.
Oh, yeah, killing wolverines. Yeah.
And a whoosh.
So, you know, like I said, if you answer
so
yes.
So it's a reality show?
Survival.
It's a reality show?
Yeah, reality. Reality, yeah.
So you say six seasons, meaning it's been six different, like, contestants or whatever, right?
No, it's 10 contestants each season, and then the last person wins. So the six. This is like
no. I mean, sorry. So six. No. Six season. I'm saying it's a six different version of it. Not like it's not one giant.
Yeah.
Like, because I'll say six seasons. They've been surviving for a long time. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I could, because it's like Naked and Afraid. We like Naked and Afraid. I feel like that's kind of like it, right?
Yeah. Definitely. Except completely closed.
Okay. Wow. Two. Oh, well. All right. Still get the two thumbs up from that one. Something that Ashley and I kind of copied from someone. So I was on Yelp, and we're doing this. You know, we're trying to go to black local businesses and everything like that. So we've gone to two so far, which isn't a lot. But that's two more than, you know, like out of our way to go to. But one of the places was like on this top 100 places in Charlotte, like kind of listing whatever that like this lady wrote that she said she's trying to do. So I'm like, I'm gonna copy that. So we have a list of the top 100 places in Charlotte to eat, and we are gonna start to make our way through that list, and I am very excited about that. Ooh. And I don't know if there's gonna be a definitive ranking when we're done, or if even, you know, when we're done, do we even say, does this belong on a top 100 list anywhere? But so far, the first place on that list was quite delicious. I don't know if we have a ranking 1 through 100 of it yet, but I think that's something very interesting to do in these times, since places are starting to reopen and places are even, you know, maybe even struggling to get back to where they were. So branching out, going out to these places that we've never even heard of. This place, by the way, called Toucan Louie's, I think.
Ooh.
I think that's what it's called. Yeah, Toucan Louie. It's either Toucan Willie or Toucan Louie. I don't know. But totally in, like, this random spot outside the city. I don't know. It's kind of like helping me branch out instead of going to, you know, your Taco Bell's, no offense to you, your Subways or whatever people eat these days. So just something that the wife and I are kind of getting into to kind of explore the city a little bit more.
Yeah, no, that was great. I think we did something similar in San Francisco where we just looked up what are the best bars, and then we just tried to try to go down the list and hit that. It's definitely a city thing where there's some culture, because, you know, I do that in Orange County, and real quick you're getting to like your BJ's top 100 on Yelp. You know, you're getting right into
BJ's
chain restaurants. I mean, everyone loves a good BJ's, a little Pazook, but I mean, there's not a ton. I guess there are, just depends. Yeah, what city you live in, but in kind of South Orange County, it's a bit limited on the culture and diversity of restaurants and other places. So,
Jeff, I think it's time. I know people have been waiting for this, and I know I have. It's Jeff's Apple TV Plus review of the week. I see it down here. I'm really excited to hear this because there was a lot of hype building into this one. Take us to town. What is the Apple TV Plus review of the week?
So the review this week, and full disclosure, I've only made it through one episode, and if I make it to more, it's going to just be for the pod, so a little tease there. Mythic Quest. So Mac from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and surprise, Cricket from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
No!
Also in the show.
I'm all in. I'm in all of a sudden. Oh, no.
It's hard because he's one of those actors where, you know, I only knew him as Cricket. I can't think of anything else he's been in. So that's kind of the persona he takes on in my mind. For better or worse, if I saw him on the street, I would think he would probably be some sort of homeless person just because he's Cricket, even if he was cleaned up. But he plays like the executive producer of the game. So he's like the polished and buttoned up one, kind of all these crazy personalities. And there were a couple laughs, I would say, but it's, ooh, I mean, the concept even, they're really trying to play off the nerdy Silicon Valley type vibe, and it's really a struggle. I mean, just they didn't pick maybe a strong plot line for the pilot, but I'm gonna give it a couple more. And we'll see. It's definitely one of those that I have to watch on my own, so it's hard to find time to make that happen. So stay tuned for more on Mythic Quest, but right now, ooh, we're trending around five, if not below five, so.
You haven't really given me what is the overarching plot? You said you can't really piece it together because it's
Well,
just one episode. I mean,
in
they're
the
making a
first,
video game or something?
yeah, so they have a very successful video game. So think of like World of Warcraft, right? So they have World of Warcraft, they have all these expansions, and they're releasing kind of their newest expansion. And so it's like people say they shouldn't release it early. They should, you know, delay it because this guy, like Pootie something, he's like a streamer who's 13 and you know has 10 million followers, and he was kind of in the beginning all against like a shovel that they were putting into the game, and it was just kind of stupid and silly, and you know it didn't do a lot for me. In the end they released it. Pootie loved it. He gave it five poos or whatever. That's his like rating system. I guess it was very successful, and you know Mac and Cricket were, you know, hailed, but there's tension with the game developers, so I guess that's what's gonna fuel the future episodes.
So how many poos do you give it right now? Two?
Well, if poos were a positive rating, I would give it about a 2 out of 5.
Two
There's
poos.
a writer in like he's an older gentleman. He's probably in his 60s in the show, and he's with all these young kids, and so he's like creating these really outrageous storylines, and they just bring them in randomly, and they're like, "Oh, riff on this," and so he goes off, and those are kind of funny. But in terms of laugh out loud moments, or even like, they're not many. Maybe two or three I can count on one hand. That's for sure.
Well, let's move to a funny show, a loved show by this podcast and pretty much the world, if I say so myself. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, it just came out. It was late last night. I think it was like 9 p.m. Eastern that I saw this posted. They had most of season 8 written, I guess, or at least some of it written, and they have decided to erase everything. They've erased all of season 8, all the scripts and everything, because just of what's going on right now in the world. And there's been a couple episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine that have touched on kind of some touchy subjects that turned out really well done. Terry Crews, who, by the way, very very versatile, like I'm trying to think of the word.
What's that? Vocal? Awesome.
No,
Volatile?
no, no. The people either love him or hate him. Terry, that's the word I'm looking
Oh.
for there. I don't know. He quotes saying that they just need to start over. What do you think? Do you think they have a good way to kind of tackle this? It was said it was a lot of police protest storylines. I imagine they're going to do some sort of COVID storyline. I think that would be pretty funny. But they've done episodes where I remember Terry Crews got pulled over because he was just walking on the street with his girls or something by another cop. So
Yeah.
they've touched this kind of stuff before. I'm excited to see what they do because it can be more than just a comedy show. What do you think? You think this is a good move on their part to kind of tackle what's going on in the real world?
I mean,
Serious.
it's serious. I always thought that Brooklyn Nine-Nine presented like, I don't know, kind of within the confines of the comedy, right? Like an idealistic version of cops, right? Like they all want to do their job, they want to do it right, like they're funny, they have fun, they're real people, they go through struggles just like everyone else. It's a challenging job. There's danger. So I mean, I guess if they wanted, I don't know if they need to re-scrap the whole season. Maybe it's like they need to delay it to throw in a couple, like a couple episodes story arc on this to address it. I mean, I don't think I would have an issue with that, but I always thought they presented, a positive version of police and society.
Yeah, I just wonder if it's going to be like a long storyline too. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, if they do, let's say, a COVID storyline, I don't think it's going to be just one episode. I mean, I think it's going to last a long time. But yeah, they definitely do show a positive, whether it's comedic value or just, I mean, I guess the good that some of these cops do. But they've shown the bad cops too. You know, they've shown the ones that are their rivals, or they'll talk about a different precinct and they'll call them out, or whatever, the chief, you know, all these kind of chiefs and that are kind of rotten to the core and all that. So I think I'm excited. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I right now, what are you taking? Brooklyn Nine-Nine or What We Do in the Shadows? And don't just go on longevity, because obviously you can take Brooklyn Nine-Nine on that. Ooh, save it for the funniest TV show tournament.
I'll probably go Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It is more consistently funny. We talk about ceiling, and I think What We Do in the Shadows has the higher ceiling, but the floor. I mean, we've seen the floor this past season of What We Do in the Shadows, and it is cringeworthy. So.
Well, let's save that for the comedy show. Oh, wow, make our own comedy show tournament. I mean, got a couple one seeds right there. Let's just go straight into football, Jeff. When I say football, I mean the footy. EPL, I watched two matches over the week. A long week, by the way. Oh my God, I did not realize they were playing like pretty much every day.
Yeah, it's wild.
I had no idea. I never, like, because I'm, you know, I think it was Monday when I was texting about Burnley. I don't know what day that was, but I was just like, oh my God, what are they doing on TV? That might have been yesterday. I don't remember. But yeah, give me, what have we got? EPL, strong start for Arsenal. What do you got?
Yeah, love that strong start for Arsenal. Yeah, that was going to be one of my points. Will you hit it right off the top? I thought they were going to ease back into the season, let the fitness build up, do one a week, and then. But no, I mean, Man City played, I think, Friday, and then they played again Monday, both EPL games. Granted, they just torched both of their opponents, so it didn't really matter. But I think it's good. I personally have really enjoyed it being back on. I think there is a little bit of downside with the crowd not being there and the celebrations with the crowd and that whole interplay not being there. But hot take, I love the artificial crowd noise. It's just enough white noise in the background to trick my mind that there's no fans in the stadium. And they only really make it noticeable when there's like a foul or, something goes wrong or they get a corner or a goal. That's only when they really turn it up to a really noticeable level. Else, it's kind of just a low form of white noise, which is fine. So I've been pleasantly surprised. I did watch one game. I forget. It was just like a no-namers early morning and without the noise. And I was like, okay, this sounds like a scrimmage. So that didn't do it for me. Turned on that
See ya,
enhanced
Kurt.
audio, and I enjoyed it. It's great. It's great just to have it on. Chelsea's playing tomorrow, playing Man City again.
Oh,
They're playing again. They've played three games in a week. It's pretty wild. So yeah, excited to just have it back on. Something early morning for us in the dad game when we're up every weekend at 6 a.m. and you got that soccer game coming on. You look forward to it. So I think it's been good. I think, you talked about the Burnley game. Definitely some controversy in that one. I don't think we'll save that for the old politics and news pod, but I don't know if you saw that, Will. So Wolves also coming on strong, so love that. A lot of
Well,
heat for that Champions League position, that's what I'll say.
in the Burnley match, I watched the entire first half. Was did something happen in the second? The first half it was 3-0, like Man City. It was 0-0. Then like all of a sudden, Man City just poured it on. So did I miss something during that first half?
No, I think it was less with the game and more that there was a plane with a White Lives
Oh
Matter
yes,
sign
yes,
circling
yes.
the
Oh
field.
yeah,
So.
yeah. Whoops. Oh yeah. That I thought you meant the actual match. Oh yeah, that was a doozy. Burnley. Yeah, just a flag about EPL or whatever. Yeah, the that was very That didn't. I saw that actually during the halftime show. Okay, anyway, because it was still on, and they were like, "Oh yeah, Rebecca Lowe or whoever was showing the flag," and I was like, "All right, that's very interesting." Okay, so I like it. It's been on for me, especially I've been working a lot of nights recently, so because I'm on the East Coast, I do get the matches at 9:45, 10, of course, depending on when they are going. So I'll be looking forward to watching Man City for the 8th time. In 9 days this week. But I like it. I'm excited, although it is, coming to a close, and Liverpool obviously won everything. But let's see what the Wolves can do, baby. Everyone, I think you've already mentioned it on this pod before, and I have too. I think, 4th through 9th are separated by 6 points or something like that. It's yep. really, it's
And
it's
then there's intense, about so. 5 teams that can be relegated, that are only, a game out of being relegated. So a lot of spice mm-hmm. left.
Not Brighton, baby. Well, I mean, of course they could, but Brighton, big win. Jeff, this next topic, I'm a little confused on because, well, I'm not confused. Baseball's back. I don't know how. Somehow they made it happen. It was not going to happen. It was 100% going to happen on July 1st or on June 1st. And then they had an interview on ESPN. And they said, now it's not going to happen. And then 2 nights ago, they're like, 60-game season, hooray. So, okay. So they got 60-game season. Cool. That's already kind of weird. But you wrote the next line, which is more important. So what's going to happen with fantasy baseball? Because I finished one draft, 3 months ago in one league. And then another league, we put our draft on hold. I think I already paid for one of them. I might have even paid for both. I don't know. That's just money that's just been sitting in someone's bank account. So I don't know what they're going to do for fantasy baseball. So there's leagues where usually you do a head-to-head where you'll play someone for a whole week. And that'll be, 6 or 7 baseball games in a week per player. That's not going to happen, I imagine, right now. I don't know. I haven't looked at the schedule or anything like that. So if I were a betting man, I would say if fantasy baseball does happen, they would just do good old-fashioned rotisserie baseball. Jeff, ooh. Are you familiar with that?
Just for the listeners out there who aren't, Will, just give
us of course. Yeah, of course. So rotisserie baseball, I've always thought about doing this with football, because when you do fantasy football, you'll play the guy who scores the first most points in the league, and you'll that week, and you'll score the second most points in the week, and you'll lose, and it's just very unlucky. So rotisserie, what it does is it just adds up all your stats through the whole season. So there's no playing against anybody. You just you switch your lineup every week. And you just hope that the players you put in that week add up to their matchups or whatever. So, for instance, you put in your 9 hitters and your 5 pitchers. After a week, they got you 4 wins, 100 strikeouts, whatever. And it just goes into your total.
Yeah.
And at the end of the season, it just says, you can throughout the whole season, you can say, oh, shoot, I'm behind on home runs. I should pick up a couple home run hitters. And that's it. So I've always thought about that with football. Because what if you just did it by points through the whole season, or you did it by, separate categories, and that's how you ended up winning, because, man, that really sucks when you do head-to-head on football. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. I think that's what's going to end up happening, at least for fantasy purposes, or else when that schedule comes out, I don't know if they're going to do the EPL thing where everyone's playing every single day until the 60 games is up, or baseball is going to kind of spread it out a little bit because of all the traveling they have to do.
Yeah.
Big question is, will you be watching?
No. God, no.
Okay, all right.
the playoffs. That's when I'll tune in, when we get closer. So I'll probably watch. I take that back. It will be on
at first game? I was going to say, the first couple games will be on just to see what they're going to do. What's it going to look like? Are they all going to be wearing bubbles? Are they going to be fans? I mean, it'll just be... I think it'll be interesting to watch for a game or two, right? Just like that's the XFL. You're like, oh, let's just, let's put it on and see what happens.
That's true. The problem is that without cable, you really have to, seek these things.
Oh, here we go.
You got to find the methods to watch. So I guess if it's on ESPN or any of the networks, I can turn it on. But, I'm not getting, oh, what is it, Turner or whatever they have.
There's, a Fox game of the week or something.
Yeah. Maybe I'll watch the old Expos and the the Orioles play.
Oh my, oh Jesus, Expos reference. All right, let's move to something that Jeff knows near and dear more about instead of naming teams from 20 years ago. The NFL is coming back, I think. And we always talk about, you know, projections, everyone does. Everyone thinks they know what they're talking about. So we do this every year. We've done this. This is our, this is our fourth year, I think. Fourth season going into, I don't even know. Because I feel like we've done this a couple times now. But we're looking at stuff that we previewed last year using articles that professionals, quotes, have written about the upcoming season. So this is all about the 2019 season. So we all know what happened. Everyone knows about the 2019 season. Who won the Super Bowl? Jeff, who won the Super Bowl last year?
The Chiefs.
Oh, all right, very good. Who'd they play?
They played the 49ers.
See, the best in the biz. So those are the two teams that won, you know, their respective conferences and all that. But let's look to see what, you know, the experts said the top 10 most talented teams were going into last season. All right, the 2019 season. We got ourselves a couple doozies here. And the top 10 has, you know, your normal array of characters. Although you do have the Colts in here, which, you know, in hindsight, I don't think Andrew Luck had retired by the time this this article was written. Let's see. Nope, it assumes Andrew Luck was still there. But that's fine. That he retired, you know, July or I don't know when he did. Anyway, so the Colts were at number 10. I don't think I have an issue there. The Browns were at number 9, and we all knew just the hype level for the Browns, so I can't fault them for that. This is Gil Brandt, by the way, the 95-year-old dude who just keeps on trucking. Browns don't have an issue with that. Obviously, they kind of falter a little bit. So far, I got a couple teams. Who they have at number 8, Jeff?
At number 8, they have the New Orleans Saints.
Okay, mm-hmm. Classic.
I think that's good. Number 7, they had the juggernaut, the Chiefs. That's I think that seemed low. I think we can go check the tape on what we were talking about last year. I think we were thinking that was low. We probably also wrongly predicted that the Browns were a little low on that list.
Yeah, but again, everyone thought the Browns. I mean, the Browns were kind of an overall hype monster going into last season. The Chiefs, though, at 7, after the offense that they showed the year before with Patrick Mahomes, who was only in his second year, you know, Tyreek Hill, they had Kareem Hunt obviously for that little bit of time. They're running their wide receivers were crazy. To have them at 7, kind of interesting now, the Super Bowl champions, and it's not like them winning the Super Bowl was kind of like luck, right? Like they were the number 2 seed. They were just dominant. It wasn't like one of those wild card teams that won the Super Bowl. Number 6, you know, classic. The Chargers. Yeah, we can just skip on that. All right, number 5. This one's too high. Would you say so myself? Or I would say so myself. How about you?
No, definitely. Number 5 is the Patriots. It's kind of funny because I feel like you could copy paste these two paragraphs in minus Tom Brady. And I don't think they're anywhere near the top 20 or top 15. And like half the first paragraph is talking about defense. And so I think the defense is still there, but I mean the offense can't be anywhere close to top 5. So get out of here with this one. It did not.
I mean, listen, this one's bad because, first of all, they don't even list that many players. You know how many – if you count them, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They list 7 players on the Patriots out of 22 starters, and one of the players they list is on the Steelers. He talks about Devin Bush. They're gonna play against the Steelers in week 1. Not sure where that comes into play here. When two of your players are Sony Michel and James White are the reason you're putting this Patriots so high up on this list, I mean, that's kind of strange. And then, like you said, it's the exact same team as last season, except without Tom Brady. Their wide receivers are the same. They didn't have Gronk last year. Their running backs are going to be a mismatch or whatever. So now where are you putting him? You're putting him at like 22, probably, yeah. Right? 22, yeah. 25, whatever. Maybe get a little spice on that fantasy. Number four, the LA Rams. So these two teams obviously played in the 2018, whatever, the 2 years ago Super Bowl.
Yep.
Whatever year that was. The Rams, I guess we would definitely say they have a lot of talent. I mean, look at all these players he listed for the Rams.
Yeah.
He listed crazy. Like 20 players that are on this team. Compared to the Patriots. So, Rams, very disappointing year last season. But no one would say they're devoid of talent. But, you know, they did okay. Did they make the playoffs last year?
No, they were very close, though.
Yeah.
And this is... They would have made it with the expanded
team. Here we go.
And this list doesn't even have Jalen Ramsey on it. This was before the Jalen Ramsey
team. Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So no issues, right, with these teams so far. Actually, the Rams didn't make the playoffs. The Chargers didn't make the playoffs. The Browns and the Colts didn't make the playoffs. So far, it's actually not great. So far, only three teams have made the playoffs so far out of the six. That's okay. I'm sure the top three are really good. So let's see. Third. Oh, boy. You wanna say it?
It's just too funny. I had to giggle a little bit. The Chicago Bears. And, like, the first two paragraphs are just about the kicking drama.
Well, don't let it fool you or distract you, as to quote.
I think if we put ourselves in their mind, though, like, their defense was so good the 2 years ago, right? So that's, I think, what was really fueling it. Like, the offense. They won a bunch of games that previous year, but... I don't think anyone now looking at that team, yes, some of the defensive pieces are still there, but the offense, the most important player
so
of your team is your quarterback.
This is then your second was, and this very similar to the Patriots. He lists two players on offense in this entire list, and one of them is Mitchell Trubisky. The other one is Tariq Cohen. I mean, I guess he lists Kyle Long, but, you know, he was really good. I mean, this guy's listing the additions of Bobby Massey and cornerback Prince Amukamara are really going to help this team. These are players that, you know, Prince Amukamara was like a first-round pick in, like, 2014. Yeah. Bobby Massey is just some free agent right tackle. I mean... I don't know what's happening here, but to make them third, and me and you both called this, we both talked about this last year at this time, this was going to be the Jaguars. This was the team that was so set up to be the Jaguars of the year before. Yep. The amazing defense, the team that made it so close with a very average quarterback. Could they do it again? And it was like, no, they're not going to be able to. They're going to have a harder schedule. People are going to figure them out. Defenses are so hard to repeat when you don't have just stars all across the board. I mean, the Seahawks stopped being that elite defense after about 3 years, and they were littered with stars.
Yeah.
So, for the Bears to be the third most talented team, I mean, I would love to see this article rewritten right now, and maybe it will be. Maybe there'll be some fluff written in the next couple weeks, and we'll see if we can find out where the Bears rank on that. Also, the Bears did not make the playoffs last year. So, right now, so far, out of seven teams, three made the playoffs. Number two, Jeff, one that's tried and true to your heart, and... You know, I can't really fault the writer for this because along with the Chargers, people always say the Cowboys are one of the most talented teams in the NFL. So they are number two here. And if we made fun of him for not listing players on the other teams, he made up for it with this one because the first three sentences have blue just all over the place linking to players. What do you got for me, Jeff, on the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, I think if you're sitting about week eight last year, this pick, I mean, this ranking looks great. I mean, they just fell off the wagon towards the back end of the year, and that's what a lot of people remember is they kind of blew games, and then they let the Eagles catch back up and then lost that head-to-head to not make the playoffs. But they are talented. They're, you know, we got the new coach in there, so we'll see. But, I mean, when you're Lincoln Randall Cobb, it's not that great. Okay, he's not one of your stars. I mean, even though he played all right last year. So, I don't think they're two. I mean, there's no question they're not two. I would say they would still probably scratch the top 10 though.
I mean, this year, I mean, again, I guess they're the opposite of the Patriots, right? It's like, can the Cowboys' defense catch up to the offense?
Yeah.
The offense is just littered with players now. I would say they're five or so. I mean, their offense alone, did they lose a couple pieces of offensive line? Yes. But they have, top three running back. Their wide receivers are just amazing. Dak is very, I still think Dak's kind of underrated in terms of his quarterback play. Can their defense just kind of catch up is really the big thing. But they didn't make the playoffs either. So, you know, that's top 10. And then, I mean, number one, me and you, this is our big bugaboo all year last offseason. I mean, whether it was the ATN pod, whether it's articles all over the internet, whether it's Steve DeVoe, people just talking up the Philadelphia Eagles. And I don't know, man. I still don't see it. They're cool. They're fine. Their tight ends are getting punched in the face when they're out at a bar. But there's four names on this list right here. Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah. No, I
there's literally four.
I made the bold prediction last season that they would get a top five pick. And that was looking good at, you know, around the middle of the season. And they kind of turned it on, pulled it back together. Made the playoffs, made a run. Why is Dallas Goedert in South Dakota to begin with and at a bar? I think that's a puzzling question. I think if you look back at last season, they were starting, what's his, Josh McCown at wide receiver, right, one game, and they still have really no receivers of note, right? They have Alshon Jeffrey, who's perpetually injured. That's it, Jalen Reagor and their other rookie that they drafted, which will go nicely with Arcega Whiteside. So, yeah, not exactly top talent on the offensive side of the ball. And one of their really big offensive linemen just retired, right? Jason Peters? No, another one.
Well, I don't know if he retired. He's just not on a team right now. But he's also like 38 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, this team, not excited to watch any of the, I mean, honestly, if the Cowboys don't make the playoffs, I'm just not excited to watch any of the NFC East. I mean, especially the Eagles, just, they're just kind of boring to me. And they made the playoffs last year. They backed in. They had Josh McCown have to try to rescue them against the Seahawks. Local boy, Josh McCown, down here at Myers Park High School.
Oh.
Gotta go visit him one of these days. Yeah, he's the head coach there, or some sort of coach for the football team here. Got pulled out of it to go play for the Eagles. Yeah. So, Jeff, the moral of this story that we just spent 20 minutes on, and which is great because we're about to make our own predictions coming up, is don't trust anything anybody says. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Including us. Except for us. Except for you, because you get paid the big bucks.
Uh-oh.
I feel like a Taco Bell email just came in when you said, uh-oh. You see that, no, guys?
He's you told me I get paid. You said I get paid the big bucks, and I was like, "Uh-oh, what have I done? To earn these large dollars?"
Oh, yeah. Or you just haven't seen a check yet. Let's move on. Let's just skip this next section because that's way too much. We can talk about that anytime. But we need to do our bold predictions for the 2020 NFL fantasy season. We need to get in this, and I love, by the way, that you made a tight end prediction, and I refuse to make a tight end prediction. So let's move on to this because I want to put some of these on a Google Doc. But will some people say they're bold enough? I don't know. I think I did pretty good. I think you did pretty good. We'll see when Greg texts us 5 minutes after we post this. Jeff, start with your quarterback. What is your bold prediction for the 2020 fantasy season? Of course, if we even have a fantasy season.
My bold prediction is Matt Stafford will be a top eight quarterback. People, I think, are sleeping on him this year. He's definitely not showing up in any top 12, top 14s in rankings. He falls down. People forget he had a pretty serious back injury last year. All signs point that he is healthy. When he played in his eight games, what would you think his average points per game was?
If I had to guess, I would say four.
Wow, it's 21.
Oh, so close.
So close. That would have put him, you know, right around six for the season. So You know, he has a talented wide receiver on his team. I think he's, you know, huck it, chuck it football. Yeah, love me some Matt Stafford this year as a value, where he has that ceiling to get into that top five-ish range. But you don't need to spend – he's not free, Will. You don't need to spend a lot to get him.
And if you get him, you don't have to play him. Just favorite verbiage. All right. So my quarterback one is Joe Burrow, who finishes a top 10 quarterback. How do you feel about that one?
I feel like I don't hate it. I just worry that my thinking is that for rookies to be really valuable, they need to have a rushing element to their game. And maybe that's an underrated aspect of Joe Burrow, in that he's like an Aaron Rodgers type of rusher or an Andrew Luck type of rusher, where he's not the most athletically gifted, but he can do that kind of scan the field, see the pocket open up, and just scramble for eight or to get a first down, right? And do that a couple times a game. So I think if you're banking on that, you know, if you can get 30 yards a game, 25 to 30 yards a game rushing, the occasional just tuck and go for a TD, and get over 250 yards passing a game, you know, AJ Green coming back, Tyler Boyd on that team, you know, you got my boy Joe Mixon in the backfield, that offensive line, all things, I mean, it can't get much worse, so hopefully it's better. I don't hate it. It is definitely bold, though. Just for kind of a reference, Kyler Murray finished 7th in points, total points last season. Mm. Josh Allen 6th. So, I mean, if the mold is there, he's kind of in that Josh Allen type, maybe a more accurate passer in the intermediate range than Josh Allen. So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I also think it has to be a bad team. Right? Like, they need to be losing a lot, and I think they will be losing a lot. I mean, will they win it? I think they're going to be okay this year, but losing will keep them on the field offensively and rack up some garbage points, or you know, just hucking and chucking, even if it is a couple more interceptions. So I think he will finish as a top 10 quarterback. His weapons are great. And you said rushing element. I mean, you didn't even mention his rushing partner, your favorite, Joe Mixon.
I did say Joe Mixon.
Oh, I didn't hear you. I just said he has a rushing. All I heard you talk about was his rushing element, like the whatever, his mobility. But all right, I think he'll be a top 10 quarterback. Stafford top 8. Okay, all right. Let's go to the running back section. I'll start it off. Josh Jacobs, top 5 running back. Is that bold enough for you?
I don't think it's bold enough. I think it's very feasible. Ooh. For Josh Jacobs to get in that top 5, I think. Let me see. I'm trying to. He finished 14th last season. His average was 13 points a game, so that puts him right around that 9-10 area. So he's right. He's in striking distance of top 5. Stay healthy. I think the Raiders' offense will be better this year. I think the added element of Ruggs the Third will provide another weapons for defense to focus on, a Tyreek Hill-esque type of chess piece. So I think he can get there. I don't know how you feel on where he's being drafted, but if you have top 5 expectations or you know, visions, which I think is feasible, I think that justifies his current draft position.
So if I'm saying top 5, that means I think Zeke – let me just give you a rough who I think will do better than him. Zeke, McCaffrey, Barkley, Kamara, I guess, right? Is that kind of like how it's going? Did I forget anybody?
What about Dalvin Cook if he plays, Nick Chubb?
I think Jacobs will do better than Nick Chubb. I think Jacobs will do better than Dalvin Cook.
Henry.
Top
Did you
four.
Say Henry? Did you say Derrick Henry?
No. Top 4. How about now? There we go. Top 4 running back, Josh Jacobs. I think that's bold. Especially if he's not getting, I'll draft him in the, second round?
Yeah.
Get him in the second round if I can. All right. Top 4 running back, Jeff. Give me your running back boldness.
Running back boldness. Talk about the hype train starting off strong, Will. Clyde
Is it?
Edwards-Helaire, although last year I did make a similar projection about Josh Jacobs, CEH is definitely not the same type of running back as Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs is definitely that three-down back workhorse getting the touches that you need to be successful. Clyde Edwards-Helaire finds himself in a great situation, much like Damian Williams found himself in a great situation last year. Both, if you compare Damian Williams and CEH as their kind of end of the prior season, obviously, CEH in college, they both finished strong. They're both a lot of positive sentiment around them. In terms of skill set, though, I mean, I don't know if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is that three-down back. He's obviously a good third-down option. He caught a ton of balls at LSU. And it's to Andy Reid. You know, he's going to go running back by committee, and I just think he's being way overdrafted. Damian Williams, I looked it up. He finished 34th in the running back position last year.
Cool.
Not to rub it in. So my bold prediction is Clyde Edwards-Helaire will finish outside of the top 20. He's definitely a shiny object type player, I feel like, and he's getting boosted up draft boards right now. So
I'm just gonna say I don't think that's bold at all. Just letting you know how I feel. Yeah. You got at me for saying someone's going to be a top five running back. You're saying outside of the top 20, some dude who's in a committee. I mean, come on.
So what do you, I'll put outside of the top 25. You want me to put 30? I'll put
30. Oh, okay, do 30.
Put it on do the Google
doc. All right, that we're saving this bad boy. Outside of the top 30. Okay, yeah, I see. Now we're getting somewhere. Now we're cooking with gas. Let's move on to wide receivers. Let's do yours first. You kind of have like a combo here. I don't really – you're going to have to explain this to me. I'm not sure which one means which. I mean, the first one's easy, but the second one I don't really get.
So my first prediction is right now the Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receivers. So we're talking Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. They're both being back-to-back drafted right around 6 and 7. My prediction, my first bold prediction in the wide receiver category, is that neither Chris Godwin nor Mike Evans will finish in the top 10 at wide receiver. Both are being drafted as top 10 wide receivers, wide receiver ones. Maybe that's better. Neither will finish as a wide receiver one, so that's top 12. It's a little more bold. I just think without Jameis there, they're both obviously very talented. Brady will spread it around. There's Gronk there. There's, you know, the white tight end. The other one is also there.
Brady.
Yeah, late, the Brady is also there. And Brady's not going to force balls. He's going to throw it away. So it's going to be less opportunity for those jump balls, I feel like, with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. So I'm saying they're still going to be high-end wide receiver twos, but they're not cracking that wide receiver one territory for me this year.
Okay, and then what's the second part? Are you saying that one's bolder than your AJ Green one, or are you listing both?
I'm listing both. I wanted to give you my other wide receiver take is three players that have, you know, they have chinks in their armor.
Oh my God, this is a Google Doc all over. If you really think, just go, keep going. If you think this is going to happen.
I went bold, okay? I individually looked at these players, AJ Green, T.Y. Hilton, Brandon Cooks, all like we're talking fifth, sixth, seventh round picks right now, all with the potential to finish top 15. And that's what I said. All three of those guys, AJ Green, T.Y. Hilton, Brandon Cooks, all finished top 15 this
year. I don't even know if Brandon Cooks plays 15 snaps. Before he, you know, gets his 18th concussion.
That's fair.
I can't believe all three. I mean, I put that on the, like, I'm taking that all the way. And when I saw that, I added my second wide receiver one. So first I'll just do my second wide receiver prediction, which was, I think T.Y. Hilton will not finish in the top 25 wide receivers. So you think he's going to finish top 15. I don't even think he's going to be a wide receiver two. I think he's going to be a very random flex option for you at best. And if you don't think that's bold enough, I'll go even bolder.
He was the wide receiver 58 last year, so not great. not great. Even on a points per game basis, he averaged 8 points per game. So definitely not in that. It's solidly in wide receiver 2 low end territory. To your point, flex. So top 25 though, I'll stick with my bold play. I think there is legitimate potential for top 15 for all three of those guys on a points per game basis. I think that's feasible, but I'm not changing what I put. They're top 15 finishers.
All right, and I'm changing mine. Top 30. T.Y. Hilton will not finish top 30. I know Phillip Rivers' skill set. I know T.Y. Hilton's skill set. They are not properly aligned. He'll get one big play every once in a while, but I think it's going to be more of a short, quick passing game. So unless T.Y. Hilton's got his burners back on after 8 years of doing it, I don't think he's going to make it happen. So T.Y. Hilton not in the top 30. You have T.Y. Hilton in the top 15, along with, you know, I do like A.J. Green, but Brandon Cooks. Oof.
Fair play. That's why they're bold, Will. That's why we like to bold.
But we want to nail a couple of these. And my last wide receiver one is, I don't know if this is bold, but I think it is, because you always have kind of one rookie kind of stand out every single year, at least wide receiver-wise. So I'm going to pick, and there was a lot of rookie wide receivers drafted in the first round this year. So I'm going to say not one rookie wide receiver is going to finish in the top 20 for wide receivers. Is that bold, yes or no?
I don't think any of them landed in spots where they're, other than the Philly guys, the presumptive number ones, maybe Ruggis. But definitely the Alabama and Oklahoma wide receivers, whose names are escaping me right now, they're kind of committees.
One of them's your boy, CeeDee Lamb.
I know, the CD. He's second, maybe third on that team. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's Cortland Sutton also there on the Broncos, impeding the value for that rookie wide receiver. So top 24, I'm looking at last year. I'm trying to find the first rookie that was drafted.
Yeah, I'm trying to think down. Too, because, you know,
Terry McLaurin, was he a rookie last year?
Oh, yeah, he was. He
finished 24th. Debo Samuel, that's rest Terry in McLaurin. Peace, was 26. That's the highest. Metcalf was 30th.
Ooh, Metcalf. Okay, I actually like Metcalf as a nice little... Okay, I like that. So I'll do 30. No rookie wide receiver will finish top 30 as well. So T.Y. Hilton and rookies not finishing in the top 30. That's a lot of players, remember. That's a lot of players.
That's pretty bold. That is bold. Especially with this year supposed to be the year of the wide receiver.
Well, let's go to the year of the tight end, Jeff.
Tight
end wasteland. I refuse to make a tight end pick for prediction-wise, but you know what? You don't let that stop you. You're in it to win it. So give us your bigger than ever, bolder tight end prediction for the 2020 fantasy season.
Bold. People are saying Gronk's back. He's already working out. He's got Gronk Island coming up for another party that he's throwing with. But he's working out with Brady. He's looking jacked. He's looking smooth out there running those routes. But there's a guy going under the radar for the Titans, Jonnu Smith. I just looked at his point totals last year. Nothing to write home about. That is for sure. But Gronk's been out of football for a year. He's on a team that has a ton of options. Jonnu Smith also on a team with some options. A style that I think fits the tight end more for the Titans. I think he's going to have a lot more opportunities with Tannehill at the helm from the beginning. And that is why you can get him late in drafts. I think Gronk, he won't be bad. He'll probably be right around that top 10 area. But you're going to have to draft him way too early just for the excitement of having him on your team. So I say this year, Jonnu Smith outperforms Gronk.
I mean, Gronk did have the 24/7 WWE title for a little bit. So he does have his fitness up. You know, he was always on the lookouts, making sure that he didn't get pinned and tackled anytime, anywhere, because that's what the 24/7 title does. So he is in shape. Jonnu Smith, I mean, he had a little bit of hype middle of the year last year, I think. He's fine.
Well, I mean, he's fine. He's in the wasteland. Yeah.
I mean, I like it. I think it's bold. I think it's bold because I'm just thinking, you know, if we're thinking strictly, you know, PPR or half PPR, doesn't matter. I think Tom Brady's going to try his best to feed Gronk. But is the yardage going to come? Are the tight end, are the touchdowns going to come? So I like it. Jonnu Smith, folks, you heard it here first from Jeff on the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast. He's picking him to outperform Rob Gronkowski. That's bold. I like it. I want to keep all these for the Google Doc, and we'll revisit this time next year like we always do, and we'll make fun of ourselves.
Sounds good. Love it.
Although, I should look at to see what our bold – we got to find our bold predictions from last season. Jeff, before we go, we still haven't done the final battle.
I know. We didn't even write it on the old Google Doc.
I think it's because when I did a little copy-paste action, and I kind of forgot. So here's what we're going to do. I'm gonna reach out. I'm going to talk to some people because it is Colors of the Wind versus Go the Distance, the ultimate Cinderella slipper matchup of these two gauntlets in the Disney March Madness, May Madness, April, June Madness tournament.
We're getting to July.
Hey, I mean, we're still going to beat the NBA, so you know that's not going to happen. I got to reach out. I'm going to do my due diligence. Literally after this pod, I am texting. But Jeff, is there anything else that we missed that you needed to go on? Any T-Bell promotions? Any thoughts that we didn't touch on today?
I will say T-Bell wise, we have started our loyalty program. It's gone into beta.
Ooh. So
that app. You won't be able to do it. Only exclusive for our employees. But any Shaq updates, Will?
That doesn't make any sense. Shaq updates. We opened our dining room yesterday. That's exciting. No Shaq updates. So we opened our dining room. Very cool. And, you know, we're not that busy. But, you know, whatever pays the bills. Going to Florida next week unless the corona keeps hitting it. So,
yeah. Where in Florida?
Going to Daytona Beach. Daytona Beach.
Oh.
Never been. And going to stay at the... I don't know. Should I put this out there? Oh, boy. Stay at a hotel there. And, you know, can't let anybody stalking. But, you know, we're still kind of calling every day, being like, hey, has anything changed? Because we're going to be spending a pretty penny. And shout out, by the way, to Delta Airlines, because American Airlines, American don't care. They are filling every plane up to the brim. They don't care at all. Delta, every middle seat's empty. They do not care about the money in terms of that. You can just tell it's cleaner. So shout out to Delta.
Oh, big shout out to the old Delta.
So the airline March Madness and the comedy show March Madness coming soon. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Gucci has been asleep, staring at the ceiling. I love it. Great dog and great dog of the pod. We'll talk to you guys maybe next week. I don't know when, but we'll make it happen. Peace.
Peace.